Hello, and welcome to The Stream. I'm Heidi Jo Castro, filling in for Femi Okeh. Today, artificial intelligence and artists. The latest influx of AI-powered image generators has artists asking, is this technology a collaborator or a rival? Here is how two artists see it.
Midjourney is the greatest industry-crushing technology ever to be released in the creative world. It has become so powerful that at this point, it's dangerous for us.
With AI, we can create art that are more personal, more expressive, and more profound. I am excited about the endless possibilities AI offers to create something truly unique and innovative.
Popular AI image generators can produce seemingly endless amounts of stunning visual art in just a matter of seconds. So where does the technology leave professional artists? Well, programs like Midjourney and Stable Diffusion are trained on data sets made up of billions of images collected online and generally without the knowledge or approval of the artist. Users can then prompt the trained AI to create new artwork, even in the style of a specific artist. Some artists see this as a threat to their jobs and even to their very identities, while others see AI as a powerful new tool to enhance artistic expression and expand human creativity. And with us to talk about this, in the U.S. state of North Dakota, we have Shane Balkwich, an artist and photographer. From Ohio, Catherine Elkins, professor of humanities and an AI researcher at Kenyon College. And from Berlin, art photographer Boris Eldogson, who recently rejected this year's Sony World Photography Prize, which he won, after revealing that his submitted photo was made with the help of AI. Thank you all three for joining us for this really interesting discussion. And Boris, I feel like it is fitting to start with you, because what captured my attention and many people around the world were these headlines that came out in April when you won the Sony World Photography contest. We see in The Guardian, photographer admits prize-winning image was AI-generated. German artist Boris Eldogson says entry to Sony World Photography Awards was designed to provoke debate. And, of course, this is the photography, if you can call it a photo, which I know is part of the discussion, but that's what we're debating at this moment. Boris, thank you so much for joining us. Tell me more about this entry.
Well, it was a test to find out if photo competitions are aware that AI-generated images will be handed in. And they have not been ready for it. And because they have not been ready for it, they had no position on the relationship between AI-generated images and photographies. And I've tried to have a debate starting on this topic with the Sony World Photography Awards, but they were just not willing to, so I had to refuse. And what started since is much, much bigger than I could have ever expected it to be. And I'm very thankful for the photo community to make it happen.
I think it is one that many artists are hoping to have, and for you to be the one to open that can of worms, so to speak, I think it's a good thing. Shane, I know you are among the other artists who saw this happen, and you may have had a different reaction. What did you think of Boris's entry?
Well, it first came to my attention, this AI concern, is when I started seeing people post these images and calling them photographs. As a photographer, as an analog photographer, I knew immediately that these are not photographs. The definition of photography is rather clear. It was made about 180 years ago, and you have to use light and photosensitive materials, and I knew that these AI-generated images aren't using any of that. So. That was my first concern with this, is that I searched on Instagram and I found that there was 178,000 images identifying themselves as photographs, and none of them were photographs.
I see. Catherine, you are a researcher in this field, so we're going to kind of have you be our neutral arbiter in a sense. And you do come at it from an academic perspective. Tell us, how do these AI generators even work?
Well, they definitely don't work the way that some of the lawsuits suggest they do. One thing to understand is they're not storing the data in a traditional sense. They're not taking images that they've scraped from the internet and recombining them. So one of the problems with the lawsuits right now is they are using incorrect definitions to describe exactly what's happening. They're based on a diffusion model. The best way to think about it is if you have color and you drop it into a glass of water, it diffuses into that water throughout. These actually start with noise. They start with that diffused process, and then they gradually take away noise to build up an image. This makes all of the controversy very difficult because they're obviously not working in the ways that our copyright laws assume. They're not working through plagiarism or any of those kinds of things.
That's right. So they're not actually storing these images, is that right? And I mean, we're talking about like 5 billion images that are scraped from the internet, aren't we?
Right. They're not storing it. They are kind of, some people say it's like if I went to an art gallery and I looked at art and then I went home and I painted a picture. Now, some researchers say we shouldn't even be humanizing it. It is not like a human. On the other hand, a group of researchers led by Carlini did find that they could recreate a very, very small percentage of images. So I think they found 0.03 images that they could recreate. People are now calling this a soft database. It's not storing all of these images, but it can very, very rarely actually recreate images.
I see. Shane, I want to come to you next because I know you specialize in a form of art that takes hours of laborious labor to accomplish. And we actually have video of you doing this work. How long does it take you to create one image using this wet plate process?
When I work on Fridays in my studio, I'm in here about 8 to 10 hours, and I'll make between 8 and 10 plates. So about, you know, maybe if I'm rushed, you know, I can make a plate in about a half hour. So there's a lot of time invested in composition and making sure everything's right. So it is, but we're talking about a historic process that dates back to 1851, and there's less than 1,000 of us in the world that are actually practicing wet plate today.
That is very unique. And as an experiment, this is interesting, you posted on your Instagram account, you asked an AI image creator tool to make an image in that style, and it took 10 seconds, you write here, after you put in the prompt to generate this picture. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, it's that prompt. Very little information that needs to be added to the system in order for it to give you a rather elaborate outcome. You know, to talk about what Catherine was talking about is how it uses diffusion and so forth. My argument is that you couldn't get the output without the input. So that color that she was talking about extracting from, it relies on over 5 billion images,
including some
other artists.
And including some of your own images, from my understanding.
Yes.
You found some of yours in this data set. Were you ever credited?
No, I found over 30 of my Native American works in this database of over 5.8 billion photographs. And so can I argue that the output of one of these AI-generated images, if you ask for a Native American in the wet plate process and it gives you something in 5 seconds, can I argue that some of my work is in there somewhere?
All right. And let's take a moment to listen to some of the concerns from Sam Yang. He is a digital artist in Canada who found that AI models had been trained on images of his work and were generating new works of art in his style.
Not only is the collection of copyrighted content of legal concern, but so is this. When AI generations are made to look like an artist's work, this has the potential for reputation damage, for forgery, for fraud, for identity theft. And what's most concerning is that when these models are trained on images of your artwork, they are unable to forget. So almost all of these models are now working with tainted data. Their generations now all involve copyrighted content which has been gathered without the knowledge or permission of the copyright owner. It is directly hurting artists who have put their passion and their soul into everything that they create, only for their work to be scraped from the internet without their permission and used in training AI models.
Boris, I know you've worked in photography for over 30 years, right? And you just started experimenting with the AI in the last year or so. So how do you see this collaboration that you've developed?
I love to work with AI, but I also understand Shane and the other artist's position, and they are both right. Yeah, I could add something to this to make it more like complex. But if you ask me about the positive side of AI, it is liberation from restrictions that I had before, because I always created out of my imagination, and now there are no restrictions left. And the beauty about it is that I'm using my knowledge to create the images, the knowledge I collected in 30 years photographing and making art. Mm-hmm. And when you use it this way, you don't need to add a certain style and to copy the style of somebody else. You can create something new. You can create a prompt that is very complex. If you have no idea of this, the AI is going to fill in the empty spots and create something that looks good. So the phenomenon we have is that the lower end of image making of people that had no skills before is now lifted to a higher level by the AI pushing it up. And the professionals...
You mentioned the prompts, Boris, and I think for our viewers who may have never dabbled with AI generating tools, it's interesting just to see what you enter. And I know you sent us an example of what you would tell this AI generator in these topics that I have on my screen here. How much of you is really going into this creation process?
Well, you see all the black parts. This is directly relating to my knowledge, but you could also just type in Trump gets arrested. Yeah, it is a subject and that's it. You don't even mention if it should be a photograph or a painting or a drawing. But if you add all the elements that are possible, you are having the lead and you are actually you are creative. It's a creative act.
That is certainly a viewpoint that many share. Catherine, you had mentioned the lawsuits that artists who disagree with Boris have filed. And I wanted to first talk about one of those artists, Kelly McKernan, who is a plaintiff in the lawsuit that is against Midjourney, Stable Diffusion, and DreamUp. And they tweeted, AI art is theft. It isn't creative. It's literally regurgitating the work of thousands of living and working human artists like me. Catherine, from your research perspective, is what's happening just a regurgitation of stolen art?
Yeah, absolutely not. It would be a lot easier if it were. I think it would be a lot more clear cut. I agree that it is extremely creative. It's a lot of fun if you use it. I can tell you personally that I teach all my students how to use it, and not all of them create great art. It's a little tricky. It requires skill. It's an iterative process where you revise and keep working on art, and it's a lot of fun. So there is the democratizing aspect that now everybody has this at their disposal to create amazing art. But I do want to say that there are implications for all of us, and it's not just artists who make a living. We have AI that may replace writers. We have AI that may replace coders. So this is really a huge issue.
As far as copyright law goes, Catherine, I mean, this is kind of new territory, right? The plaintiffs in this case, the artists, are trying to argue that style itself merits a copyright. How difficult would it be to prove that?
I think it's going to be extremely difficult. That has never been the case. If you go back in history, artists used to go to the Louvre and paint all of the masters. And that was very, very typical. So copying other people's styles has always been a part of training. Copyright-wise, I don't think that this is going to hold up. And it's also the case that they just announced in March that they're going to allow copyrighted AI art if we can show that there is, in fact, some human element involved in it. Mm. And just exactly how much of that human element is necessary is going to be a question, I think.
Yeah, Shane, I see you want to jump in.
But as of right now, the United States Copyright Department is not allowing any of these works to be copywritten because of the concerns.
No, but they've opened the door. That's right. They've opened the door to this possibility.
Yeah, it is a novel legal territory. Go ahead, Boris.
I would like to make the copyright problem even larger. Everybody is talking about the scraping of the images from the internet and the training material. How I see it, there are lawsuits Yeah, it's all on the way, and Stable Diffusion has set up an opt-in, opt-out option. So things will be solved possibly next year, possibly by the end of this year. But I don't need a person to be in the training material to copy the style. What I can do is I can just ask ChatGPT to describe the style of an artist in words. And if you can do it, you don't need any training material. You just describe it and you can really get close to the original. And the second problem is that the training material is just 25% of the problem. 75% of the problem is that the platforms enable and encourage single users to upload images, and that can be taken from wherever. This is the main problem if you talk about copyright, but somehow nobody wants to.
And it's important to note that these platforms are making money off of users, right, who subscribe to their services, and they're not paying the artists for the source material. Go ahead.
Heidi, there was a case recently where an artist asked to have his images scrubbed from one of these databases. And instead of getting the images scrubbed, he was sent a $1,000 bill to do so.
Ouch.
This is a concern.
Absolutely.
This is a concern.
I know this is something for you that you know is personal, because you have found, again, you found your own images that you worked on used as a source material. And I actually wanted to show our viewers an example. You have dedicated, what I read is this is your life's work, right, to photographing 1,000 Native Americans using the special wet plate technique. And if we can put up on our screen, one of these images was made by you, Shane, and the other was made by AI. I'm going to let viewers think about it for just a second, which is which. And Shane, now tell us which one was your creation, which one was not.
The gentleman with the feather in his hair is a very good friend of mine, and I took that portrait about 4 months ago. And this brings up another concern that I've had about this technology, is that its effect on history. Okay, it may be just cute and fun, and we're all excited, and we've got this new little shiny thing that allows us to create these images. But when you ask for one of these generators to create a Native American wet plate collodion image, that can't be undone. That's to say, you post it on Facebook, maybe it gets posted to a website, someone else shares it, and it's out there in the world. And I've got works at over 65 museums around the world, and the curators are very concerned about this, because can you about imagine 75 or 100 years from now, that image pops up, and they're going to have a very difficult time. And remember, this technology is getting better exponentially. Boris and I talked yesterday, and we had maybe come to the determination by the end of this year, we think that even the trained photographic eye is not going to be able to determine the difference between one of the image on the left versus my image on the right. So you can imagine curators in the future maybe thinking this image on the left is a historical image, and putting it in a museum or displaying it as something important. We have to understand that this person here never existed and never will exist and never has existed. And so what's the point of these portraits? I really want to understand what's the purpose of these portraits. I'm arguing that it's going to do nothing but confuse history and confuse the future.
It certainly is treading on that territory of deep fakes. And for people who have been marginalized, erased from history in the past, that is absolutely not acceptable, and I know that's the opinion of some of your subjects who weighed in on this. Catherine, on this greater topic, too, of just what defines art, you know, people, some would argue that art must be created by humans to even count as art, but there appear to be others who now disagree with that. What do you think?
Well, for quite a while, we've been debating this. I mean, you think of Marcel Duchamp, who put a urinal in the middle of a exhibition and called it art, right? So this has really been a question for a long time. I think a more interesting question is, does it make us feel a certain way? And one of the really interesting things about these generated images is they're very successful often in composition, in some kind of emotion that they produce in the viewer. So if we're thinking about what we would call an aesthetic experience, I think that they do actually qualify. Again, we also have to think about the public. Will we accept this as a kind of art? And then we have to think, does it require a human? But I just want to point out that it's trained on human art. So just like ChatGPT that has all of this language, there is a human feel to it because it has learned from human art and it has that human feeling. There is a human element in it.
And there's also a surreal element. I wanted to show our viewers interesting use of AI that has been celebrated. This is a Twitter post of the artist Christina Beller, a jewelry designer who made this using Midjourney, as you can see. And also, this is kind of interesting. This is by an artist named Ben Moran, who posted this article. This was made by Alexander Rebin, who asked a chatbot to describe imagery, to describe an imaginary art piece. And he actually made it in real life. So this is a picture of what he created from the prompt. The sculpture contains a plunger, a toilet plunger, a plunger, a plunger, a plunger, and a plunger. That's what the AI wrote. And of course, this piece is called The Plungers. So he's sort of turning it back on itself, right? We're kind of in this new surreal territory here.
It's conceptual art. It's a new way of doing conceptual art. It's fun, yeah? It's easy. I've done it myself. I asked ChatGPT, can you just invent a new art style? And it came up with neuroplastic expressionism and was able to describe it. And then if you transform it into an image via image generators, you have something which is really interesting.
It is pushing boundaries.
It's a field of experimentation, and this is what I like.
Yes, and that is that is one of the definitions of art. Go ahead. Shane.
I had another question for Catherine. One of the other concerns that I've thought about is that, one could argue that eventually there would be more of these AI images than real images online. You could theoretically say that. And at some point, these AI generators, and you know more about them than I do, Catherine, are going to be training live. That's to say now they're training on databases that were a couple years old or however long they're dated, they're not actually live online, hooked up to the internet, scrubbing as we go, as we create throughout the day. There's a big difference. Once it goes live, you can about imagine that these AI generators are going to start training on previously generated AI imagery. So we have this cannibalism of previously created AI images, and now we have future AI training on past AI. And I just don't know where that leaves us, Catherine.
Yeah. And Catherine, I'll let you answer that. But I also want to ask you guys a final question of our show, because our time's coming to an end, because this seems like a precarious time to enter the industry for any young artist who are hearing this and asking themselves, will they even have a job? Catherine, you teach those artists. So please, very succinctly, any words of advice, for them?
I mean, right now, you still have to have a certain skill to use this well. So I think there is opportunity, but how long that opportunity lasts, I don't know. A bigger concern for me is not retraining on all of this AI-generated art, but the fact that the art is really defined by the training set. And if it's being trained on a lot of Western art, if it thinks that women tend to look a certain way, then we're going to have more and more images produced that way. So when we talk about lost voices, lost images, that certainly will be the case with this kind of art as well.
Right. Unfortunately, our time is also coming to an end in this show. As we open up this debate, and it's going to carry forward for a long time, about what is art, what is AI's contribution, and can it push the boundaries, or is it a threat? Thank you so much for watching us on the stream. See you next time.